This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thanks for staying with us on the morning run, and Selamat Hari Raya to everybody. In about 35 minutes' time, I'll be talking to a gentleman named Dato' Sri Mir Habib, the managing director of Habib Jewels, a very storied, established and very respected jeweller that was founded in Penang over 60 years ago by his father, the icon. With over 60 years of presence, of course, they've grown from this humble shop to I think about 30 stores now, and they were the first publicly listed jewellery business, and then they privatised it some years ago.
Yes, I remember that exercise.
That's right. So he's going to offer, I think, quite interesting points of view in terms of a resurgence in gold demand, and specifically yellow gold, and also the market for diamonds and being whether they're investment grade. So that's all going to be looked forward to in 35 minutes'
I'm
time.
I'm going to be curious whether he's seeing recovery or how spending has been, especially since Hari Raya is tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got he will have a very good point of view on that. And we'll be discussing that. In the meantime, the world of cryptocurrency beckons. Pioneer Bitcoin appears to be losing its shine to Ether, which in turn seems to be losing its shine to Dogecoin. So what's going on there?
Well, the second largest coin is up more than 450% since the start of 2021, hitting a record high of more than $4,000. And of course, there's also Dogecoin, the cryptocurrency's very own rock star, which is up, guess what, 11,000% year to date.
Yeah, its prominent rise is in part due to its biggest supporter, Tesla chief Elon Musk. But the coin also took a stumble when the man himself made a joke about it on Saturday Night Live sketch TV show last weekend. So as a result, it was down 36% from levels around 65 cents before the show. Now, it's no secret that cryptocurrencies are highly volatile. So why is it popular and how are these currencies different from one another?
Well, to discuss this, we've got on the line with us Aaron Tang, the country manager for Luno Malaysia. I think one of the country's crypto platform. Aaron, thanks for joining us. Now, a quick primer from you in terms of the difference between Bitcoin and Ethereum, please.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. So if you look at the differences between Bitcoin and Ethereum, Bitcoin was actually designed as digital peer-to-peer cash. And over time, it has more or less taken on the narrative of digital gold or even a digital reserve currency asset. So people store Bitcoin, people use it as a hedge against inflation, people look at it as a store of value. The code behind Bitcoin is pretty simple. It's very well understood. It's very high security. So that's Bitcoin. Now, Ethereum is a newer cryptocurrency that was actually designed to serve as a global computing platform. Now, a little bit of tech jargon there, but basically Ethereum is a platform on which you can build really, really smart applications. It has a lot more programming capability than Bitcoin. And you're starting to see a lot of these kind of applications come into the market in the past few years. A very good example of that would be something called decentralized finance, which is mostly built on Ethereum right now.
So is that why Ethereum is outperforming Bitcoin? Because it's got wider applications?
That is one of the theories. Now, there are several potential reasons. Of course, we've already mentioned the huge amount of innovation, things coming onto the Ethereum platform like DeFi. I'll give you an example. Almost $100 billion of assets is currently locked into the DeFi ecosystem where people are doing what you call traditional finance functions like borrowing, lending, collecting interest. And all this has been built on Ethereum. Now, there's other really cool stuff being built on Ethereum. If you've been following the hype around non-fungible tokens, NFTs, which has also been hugely hyped up recently, a lot of that is being built on Ethereum as well. Finally, I just want to say that Ethereum itself, the platform, the software is actually undergoing a phase where it is upgrading its software. And there are plans to introduce Ethereum 2.0, which will also make transactions faster and fees lower, among other features. So people are believing that as Ethereum matures, the price will continue to go up and the platform will become more and more valuable.
Now, we know that prices of both Bitcoin and Ethereum have gone up incredibly, but I want to ask you, what do you think the main risk of this is? Main risk of cryptocurrencies?
There are several risks when it comes to investing in cryptocurrencies. The main one, of course, is if you almost get caught up in the hype, the speculation, and you're not really investing, but you've fallen into the trap of speculation and gambling. And I have no like moral arguments against gambling, but I think you can actually go in a state where you're putting all your money in things that you do not understand. For example, you've seen the huge hype around Dogecoin, and I was reading some of the social media comments when Dogecoin fell after the Saturday Night Live appearance by Elon Musk. I think many people were mistakenly expecting that Elon was just going to hype it, was going to drive the price higher. And then when the price fell, many people really lost a lot of their money. So that's really, I think, the biggest risk, apart from also there is, of course, the angle of rampant scams happening when people are investing in things that they believe are legitimate cryptocurrencies but are actually scams.
Yeah, so Aaron, you talked about decentralized finance, DeFi, to pundits, right? Now, obviously, in jurisdictions like Singapore, the DeFi players are seeing a lot less friction between conventional finance and Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies. Malaysia is very different. Malaysia has got a lot of walls in between both systems. Why do you think Malaysia is pursuing this route?
I think we're kind of different because Singapore has always been the more open financial system. It's easier to get funds in, it's easier to get funds out. It's always been built a little bit more open. Malaysia, for whatever reasons, I think the policies have always been, we want them to safeguard ringgit, which for better or for worse, may be a little bit more vulnerable to foreign currency kind of fluctuations. So while I will not say that Malaysia's policies are currently detrimental to anything like decentralized finance, because technically once you get into the world of digital assets, once you have converted your digital assets into Ethereum or a stable coin, there's actually not much barrier for you to actually access the world of decentralized finance itself.
Yeah, so the first port of call for most crypto buyers in Malaysia would be obviously Luno, because you're the most established. Just based on fund flows and trends the last few months, obviously, you know, can you just give a reflection in terms of interest in cryptos and basically the interest between the three main ones, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and perhaps even XRP?
Yeah, so in recent months, you'll find interestingly in Malaysia that people have a lot of transaction volume has actually flowed into what we call the alternate coins. So, you know, it's not just Bitcoin anymore. People are moving a lot into ETH. XRP is hugely popular in Malaysia, by the way. We've also recently launched Bitcoin Cash, which has shown over the past week huge volume as well. And then people are actually doing a lot into Litecoin as well. So some cryptocurrency observers believe that the Bitcoin, the crypto markets, moves in four-year cycles, and it tends to start with Bitcoin appreciating, followed by the other cryptocurrencies. And if we take this theory to be true, we are currently seeing that interest has kind of flowed away from Bitcoin into the other altcoins at this moment. And that is true overseas as well as in Malaysia.
I just want to get your view on energy consumption and environment, because the Bloomberg report estimates that the Bitcoin network alone uses more electricity than Sweden does in a year. Can we expect both Bitcoin and Ethereum to be environmentally friendly in the future?
Yeah, so just to put that into context, I looked up some of the stats yesterday. Bitcoin currently consumes an estimated 110 terawatt hours per year. And that equates to roughly 0.55% of global electricity production. So that's almost about less than about roughly 0.5% of global electricity production. I read another humorous tweet recently. One commentator was saying that the amount of people using clothes dryers in the US is actually more than the electricity used for Bitcoin mining. So now when we put it in this angle, I think we can see that Bitcoin mining itself, while it does use a lot of electricity, it is not exactly huge compared to other users of electricity today. But going back to your earlier question, whether there will be more environmentally friendly mining features in future, I think, yes, we shouldn't underestimate the capabilities of technological innovation. You're starting to see that already in techniques like Ethereum's 2.0. So when Ethereum moves to its software upgrade, it will be moving to a different kind of mining, which is called proof of stake. And that may actually offer a good solution.
All right, Aaron, thank you so much for your time. That's Aaron Tang, country manager for Luno Malaysia. Now, just in terms of the potential for returns, I mean, the most money can potentially be made when most people, as many people as everybody, the majority, is skeptical about it, right? And you can say that about holding or buying Amazon in the late 90s, maybe buying Microsoft in the late 70s, and perhaps even as far back as buying Berkshire in the late 50s when Warren Buffett was just a mere sapling, you know?
Yeah, but it's not without its risk, right?
Of course.
I go back to the point where I don't know how to value it. Maybe it's just me.
Mm.
Because it has no earnings, right? So it's very much based on demand and supply. And this hope that it will go mainstream, and it has. It has gone mainstream quite a bit, but I think it's still very early days. Still very, very volatile.
Okay, up next we'll talk to Julia Goh of UOB Malaysia on Malaysia's latest GDP data. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.